What's going on, successors? Welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success. I'm Jonathan Jones, and today is Monday, so you know what that means. If you don't know what that means, today is Monday. It's time for Monday Motivation, and this is your jolt, your spark to kick off your week on a bright note, right? To get you going, to give you those things that you need to really get into the week with enthusiasm, with pizzazz, and feeling good. So Producer Britt, come on out here. Come on out here, Producer Britt. And we're going to kick this episode off with what we, well, what's going on? How you doing, Producer Britt? How you feeling?
I'm good.
How you feeling?
I'm good. Happy Monday, February 10th. Hello, everyone.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday. Yeah, if y'all out there tapped in, hit us up in the chat. Talk to us. We'll talk back. So, Producer Britt, how we going to start off today? What we got up first? What we got up
first?
All right,
well, up first, Jonathan, you know, we can never skip. It is February, so we cannot skip Black History Month. So, tell us what your Black History fact is, Jonathan.
What is my Black History fact? Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about a woman who had $1.05 in her pocket.
Ooh, $1.05
in her pocket. $1.05. I got a dollar in my pocket and I don't know what to do. Okay. She started out with $1.05 in her pocket. And then she was able to become the first Black woman millionaire in America.
All right.
She goes by the name of Madam C.J. Walker. She's most known for these are three of the products.
Okay.
The Wonderful Hair Grower.
Mm-hmm.
The Glossine, and the Vegetable Shampoo. She employed, get this, Producer Britt, she employed over 40,000 people. Madam C.J. Walker, you're my Black History Fact of the Day. Thank you for your work. I love it. I love Producer Britt, it's on you now. What you got? What's your Black History Fact? You know, we can't just move past it now. Yeah,
okay,
talk to it.
So my Black History fact is Bernard Harris, NASA astronaut Bernard Harris became the first African-American to walk in space. Harris was a part of the team during the Space Shuttle Discovery's STS-63 mission. The mission was also the first time a shuttle would rendezvous with Russian space station. So clap it up for astronaut Bernard Harris.
We love to see it.
Did you know about him? Because I didn't know about him.
I did not. No. I did not. And it's funny, I just was watching some space movie the other day. That's irrelevant because he wasn't in there. But thank you for giving us that insight because I didn't know. So I learned something new today. Thank you, Producer Britt.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I knew about Madam C.J. Walker. You know, you got to know about her if you use hair products. You know what I mean? You know? Yeah.
For sure. And I mean, I saw the series on Netflix a while back. So I said, I know y'all might have added some stuff. So I just wanted to get the real.
I did not watch that. Was it good?
It was so good.
Really?
It was so good. Yeah, you gotta check it out. You gotta check it out.
It's a good show.
But it's one of those where after you watch it, you're like, okay, I need to go build something. I need to go create something. Like I gotta go do something
because
I'm feeling it right
to.
Now.
And it's funny. $1.05.
It's funny we talking about a Monday motivation.
I'm just saying.
So yeah, Producer Britt. Now I know this is one of your favorite segments. I really enjoy this segment. What did you see scrolling this week, Producer Britt? Talk to her.
Man, you want to know what I saw scrolling? Okay, well, first of all, let's get into the Super Bowl. Hello. What'd you think? What were your thoughts?
First of all, I was like, okay, I thought I was depending on the Chiefs to come back. I was like, Patrick Mahomes, he gonna do his thing in the second half.
Yeah.
But it did, nah, the Super Bowl wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It wasn't giving what it was supposed
to
get.
The only thing that he did was make the score look a little better at the end. Cause it was zero for a very long time.
Wasn't looking good.
For a very long time.
I wasn't pleased. I wasn't pleased. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Halftime. So, are we?
We're going to talk about that. I saw that scroll. Hold on. My first one is, oh my gosh, did you see Taylor Swift got booed? So she got booed.
I mean, but she got booed by the Eagles fans. It wasn't like the Chiefs fans. But we also have to be real.
Her face, she was like, what is this?
Yeah. What is booze? I never get booed at my concert because they pay to see you, Taylor. They pay to see you. They didn't pay to see you at the Super Bowl, baby.
They didn't pay. Speaking of payment, I'm glad you said that, because I don't have the graphic for it, but the Super Bowl tickets, there was a TikTok video. The Super Bowl tickets range from $4,000 to $8,000. I mean, actually $9,000. So one guy paid $9,000, another lady paid $8,000, and I mean, it just trickled down from there. And everyone that bought them, it was worth it. It's worth it. It's a lifetime opportunity. It's worth it. It's worth it. I can't imagine spending $5,000 on a ticket. I can't even, no. $10,000 on a ticket is insane.
No. If I'm paying $10 for a ticket, I'm putting on a helmet. I'm putting on pads. I'm getting a full experience. Exactly. I'm going to get tackled in the game.
I want to be a football player.
Yeah. No. We ain't paying $10,000. Not for that. No.
Okay. So a little bit more before we get to the halftime show. The single biggest downgrade in the history of the scoreboard graphics. Did you see this? This is a big deal. I mean, these graphics, people watch this stuff. I mean, look, you got this one, it looks nice. And then you got this one over here. It's just like, everything's just transparent. Everything's just invisible. Like, are we really here for the game? Who made this? We got this beautiful logo on the field. We're in New Orleans. And then it's like, yuck, the scoreboard looks horrible. And that was one of the first things I noticed, honestly, when I was watching the game with Marche, my cousin. And that was the first thing I noticed. I was like, yuck, why is that so ugly?
I don't know who approved that. But I mean, I guess somebody thought it was a good. Maybe they just want to try something different. But that's not the move. They shouldn't do that next year, or ever again.
Yeah, people were upset. I mean, the scoreboard was a whole conversation on X, formerly known as Twitter. It was a whole situation.
Scratch that. Next, what we got up next?
Okay. Next, we got the halftime show. So, you know, our boy Kendrick Lamar, okay. How do you feel? Did he do his thing or what?
I think he did what he always does, which is his thing, right? Which is his thing. But I've also heard people say, you can either have the opportunity to put out a message or you can have the opportunity to really, you know, just ride that wave ultimately. And I think he stood on business with wanting to put out the message because everybody didn't like the set list.
That is true. Everybody didn't like the set list. I was one of those people that didn't like it. He had a lot more songs that he definitely could have performed.
A lot more songs that would have been like hype, upbeat, but he was like, nah, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to do this. And I mean, he gave us Not Like Us, but wait. Producer Britt, did he have to perform Not Like Us? I heard some people saying he had to.
Yeah, he had to perform the song. Why? Absolutely.
Why did he have to perform the song?
I just won five Grammys off this one song. You gotta know I'm about to perform this song. First of all, it's the hottest diss track of the land right now. So it needs to be.
It's the hottest track he's put out ever, is what I'm hearing.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I don't know about now. I'm not a Kendrick stan. I'm not a Kendrick fan. I mean, like, I'm a fan of him, but I don't know his music like that. I know, like, his discography is very deep. You know, he's very lyrical.
He has
a story. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I just can't listen to the whole thing. But, you know, this last album he put out, I did listen to it from top to bottom. And I loved it. But I know some of his previous bodies of work. I mean, they're great. He does have 22 Grammys, so that says something. So they're great. It's just not something that I can listen to all the time. Because I feel like if I listen to it, I'm going to start a revolution. Yeah.
You are a revolutionary. Hey, y'all, let us know what y'all think in the chat. Like, did he have to do Not Like Us? Did he not? Like, what are your thoughts on Kendrick's Super Bowl performance? Let us know in the chat, because I'm interested to hear other people's perspectives as well. Just
what do
you on,
think?
You know, Kendrick and the Super
Bowl. Did he have to do it or what?
I think, yeah. I mean, everybody was expecting it. Like, right. the thing people weren't expecting was him doing a freestyle. And also, what we weren't expecting was Serena Williams out there doing a crip walk. That was extremely unexpected. And I mean, yeah, she's from Compton. I don't know. For me, it kind of felt misplaced. It kind of felt a little misplaced. Like, I get it.
There's a backstory on that, though. There's a backstory because these two right here, SZA and Serena, the beef is with Drake. These two women dated Drake. So it's very, you know, it's very chess. You know, it's a chess move for sure. But yeah, they dated. I did expect SZA to be there because they have that song. They're also going on tour together. So yeah, I expected her to be there. I just wanted to know like when she was coming in. She came right on cue. But my surprise was definitely Serena Williams. And they both dated Drake. So that's why he had them there. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
It makes sense. Fair enough.
Let's see. So nobody, I won't say nobody, but most of the people on X, Twitter, were just upset about this Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg commercial. Like, nobody liked it. And I didn't want to play a clip because I don't want to relive it, but it was the whole, it was the whole, I hate you and you hate me and we hate each other and we shouldn't hate each other. And they just look at each other and they walk off. I mean, if I were, you know, maybe on Friday I'll pull some comments, but the comments on that thing was hilarious. Did you? I know you felt differently about it. So how do you feel about the
commercial? Well, I mean, so because I saw it before the Super Bowl and I was watching it and I was like, because I mean, like, I get they're trying to send a message, but I don't know how clear it was. It was strong. This isn't the type of ad that you want to watch while people, you know, you watch the Super Bowl, you got your wings, people having a good time, and you hear two people on the screen talking about, I hate you. It's like, whoa, you bringing the party down, buddy. Like,
that's what, like, I was what is saying. This? It's like,
it's super unexpected. And on top of that, you got Tom Brady on Fox. Like, Tom, what are you doing? Like, you up in the booth and you on the commercial? Like, get out of here.
You're doing too many things, sir.
No, yeah, like, pick a side, Tom. Just play the sport and just be great at the sport and leave I hate you commercials alone, because it's not necessary.
Yeah, okay?
Not necessary.
It wasn't for me. That was for sure. It was not for me. Okay. Before we get into this, because that's funny. Okay, before we get into this, did you know? I guess getting the first spot. Right out of the first Super Bowl spot commercial is a big deal. And do you know who got that spot?
Who got the first spot? I don't know.
Oh, you really don't remember?
Who got it?
The first spot? Dunkin' Donuts.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, they got the right when we went to commercial for the first time, Super Bowl game on, first commercial break, boom, Dunkin' Donuts. You know, 30-second ad. $8 million.
Lord have mercy.
30-second ad. $8 million.
I want to see the stats.
I got a little blurb.
Okay.
So, this year's Super Bowl commercial came with a jaw dropping of nearly $8 million for just 30 seconds of airtime. That's a billion-dollar jump from last year's $7 million rate, according to ad expert Peter Bray. We're looking at 51 minutes of total advertising during the entire broadcast. So every 30-second ad, I mean, yeah, every 30-second ad, $8 million. Bray is predicting that in the next 3 years, that Super Bowl ads can be in the billions.
This is crazy.
It is crazy. So, why is it so expensive? Because there's normally, well, viewership for the Super Bowl is was 120 million viewers, and this ad only runs one time. Well, I wouldn't say one time, but this is a chance for the companies to showcase, I mean, anything and everything that you want to showcase in an advertisement. Because why? Because now you have 120 million eyes on it. And when you grab that first spot, I mean, you're good to go. So kudos to Dunkin' Donuts. And Ben Affleck. Okay, well, first of all, he's on the high end because he's Ben Affleck. But most of the celebrities are, you know, they're around the 2 million mark. Ben Affleck, my boy is 10 million to do that commercial. 10 million, 30 seconds, $8 million for the spot.
They know something we don't know about returning
money. I hope Dunkin' Donuts got their money worth. I hope y'all are going out there to buy that coffee. I really do.
They would have to. Like, they know something we don't. Like they would have to, because companies can't keep doing this year over year over year over year.
Y'all gotta be losing money.
That's what I'm saying. Something is returning. Like, they're winning somewhere, some way. Yeah. But hey, more power to kudos Dunkin' Donut. Kudos Dunkin' Donut.
Yeah, all right. And I prefer Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, I'm a coffee drinker, coffee lover. I prefer Dunkin' Donuts over Starbucks. So,
yeah. Okay, Dunkin' Donuts, you heard that. So, you know, we open if y'all trying to talk business. We'll talk business.
Okay, so first of all, let me say this. I was getting my stuff together. You look for feet. You know, you look for feet. You say, like, barefoot, you know, you Google that images and you see, like, you know, people walking around the house. Now you Google bare feet black. They got us. They got all of our stock photos. We're outside. We're walking outside and everybody else is walking inside. So it took me a while to find this picture.
Studio.
But I got a good story behind these feet. Okay. So
talk to us.
How often do you walk around the house barefoot? No socks, no nothing, man.
I mean, right now, but typically I don't. Like, typically I have slides for outside and I have slides for inside the house. So
okay.
I typically wear slides inside the house.
Okay, according to podiatrist Dr. Robert Conello, walking barefoot actually strengthens those tiny foot muscles we often ignore. So think of this as a gym session for your feet. Plus, dermatologist Dr. Hannah Copeland says that this is good for your skin because it lets your skin breathe and it can reduce athlete's foot. But I just want to say a disclaimer. If you have diabetes or circulation issues in your feet, you must continue to wear your shoes and your socks because that is part of your health. And yeah, so just disregard everything I said if you have those two conditions. And then the middle ground here is that, you know, if you're not used to being barefoot all the time, or if you're one of those people, well, you should always have clean floors so you can walk around barefoot so you're not tracking dirt everywhere you go, because that is nasty, okay?
Flintstone feet. That's nasty.
So you can walk around with socks, you know, if you're cooking a really big meal in the kitchen or something, you definitely need to wear your shoes because it's giving you support. But if you're just got home from the day, kick those shoes off, take those socks off, walk around for a little bit. And, you know, the key to life is moderation. So slowly get there. You can start with the socks off, or you can start just, you know, cold turkey. Put your feet on the floor. But, yeah.
Come on. Key to life, moderation. Okay. So yeah. since you shared it with us tonight, I'm gonna continue to walk barefoot tonight, right?
Okay.
Just for a little bit.
Okay.
To walk barefoot tonight, all right. Allow my feet to explore some of the floors. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. All right.
And my last story for this what I got scrolling is, we all know Valentine's Day is on Friday. Okay. Love is in the air. Love is in the week. It's in the hours. It's winding down. For those who don't have reservations, you are losing time. Okay. Okay. So with that being said, the article that I read today, I believe this article was CBS, but the global budget for, the global dating services market is expected to reach a whopping $23.8 billion and this is just people dating, it's crazy. Dating services, anything within the dating, it's supposed to be a whopping $23.8 billion by 2032. Here's the kicker. 59% of Americans find, it's funny, irresponsible spending off-putting than bad breath. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
Wow. Dang, Go ahead. Now, I was about to say, for one, that's almost three Super Bowl commercials, but that's crazy.
Right. And then on top of that, 3 in 4 people say that financial dishonesty is worse than cheating. And get this, 58% would pass on a ring if their partner or potential spouse has a shaky financial habits. So make sure you talk about money when you're dating and on these Valentine's dates. And, you know, some people asking you to be their Valentine, they might be spending all their money just to be with you. And you shouldn't do that, because that is not the financial way to, that's not what you want to be in.
Wow.
Right?
Producer Britt, you going to pass on the ring? You going to pass on the ring? I'm like, I'm good on that. Just make sure you got your finances straight, or are you going to say, I need that rent?
I don't put myself in those situations, so.
Oh, okay. Good for you. That's good.
No.
Yeah, that's good.
No. And if you... And if you, you know, on the cheaper side, and if you and your boo thing like to celebrate Valentine's Day the day after, make sure you go to the store and you can get those half off chocolates, because they're always half off the next day. They're always half off the next day. But, you know, it's always free to just say I love you. So how about that?
What if they're not in love yet? But that's a good point.
That is a good point. That's what I'm saying. You can always say, hey, you know what's free? I love you and a hug. Okay? you pretty, and I give you a hug, and we free. That's free, baby. That's free. Come get you one of these. Yeah.
Come get all the hugs you want, okay?
Come get all the hugs you want. All right, guys, that is all I had scrolling. If you see anything that I should mention on the show, hit me up on my IG or on my TikTok at Producer Britt down here, and I will definitely share it. I'll review it, and then I'll share it, okay? Because we got to make sure it's good for the show. But right now, in this moment, we are going to go to a commercial break, and we will be right back with Jonathan's motivational message for the day. Mm-hmm.
Exciting workout that's not only fun but makes you feel alive. It's time to step up your fitness. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece, that's your answer. This isn't your typical workout. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece is an energizing step workout that combines simple moves with fresh beats, both old and new, creating an atmosphere that makes fitness exciting. With a focus on all elements of fitness, cardio, muscular conditioning, flexibility, and balance, you're guaranteed to burn calories and get addicted to the energy. Extreme becomes your safe space, which is a welcome environment where everyone is accepted. It's where you can let go of those worries of the world and focus on getting healthy. Ready to get energized? Join Extreme Hip Hop with Treece today. All right. Welcome back to Monday Motivation. And y'all, I'm feeling extra energized today, because today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to dive into something that's really shaking up our community right now. And y'all already know what I'm talking about. Before I even say a word, you already know what I'm talking about. But you've probably seen all the headlines with different people talking about DEI, talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. especially with what's happening at major retailers like Target. And, you know, we're seeing all across the country. This is affecting many of us, small business owners, entrepreneurs, just all across the scope. And this isn't just corporate jargon we're talking about, right? This directly affects our communities, opportunities, our representation, and our economic future. Think about yourself. Think about your family. Think about your friends. So I was listening to an NPR interview that took place on the Morning Edition, where they interviewed April Showers, and she's the founder of Afro Unicorn. And she was explaining how it doesn't help just by boycotting the retailer and how that doesn't necessarily help our Black businesses. So we're gonna go ahead and listen to this clip, and then we're gonna come back and break it down just a little bit more.
As a supplier, you can't just boycott the retailer. Could you just say as briefly as you can why that's not so easy for you? Like for a consumer, you can just say, well, you know, I'm not gonna buy that, or I'm not gonna shop there. But as a vendor, you can't do that.
Well, I think what it is people are asking us to take our products out of the stores.
Right.
So that's the part that we cannot easily do. And we wouldn't want to just take our products out of the stores because there are thousands of people that walk these aisles every day. Our direct-to-consumer business does exist, but the eyeballs that we get by having your products in stores does not even compare.
Some of these companies made a really big deal out of their DEI initiatives. Is there any part of you that feels betrayed that now that they say they're winding them down or walking them back for whatever reason?
Not at all. I feel thankful for the opportunity. Giving me that shelf space is basically giving me another business. What I feel betrayed by are people saying that these products that I made for them, that they're not going to support them. That's the betrayal.
And because?
Because these products were made for them in mind. They were created because before there were no brown unicorns. You could not see yourselves in these particular products. And then you make these products, and then the ones that you make them with them in mind say that they're not going to support it. That's the betrayal.
Well, what do you say to people who say, look, these companies take a lot of our money. We are tired of being bullied by these companies. We want to be respected as consumers. And this is the only way that they can get their points across. I mean, look, one of the signature events of the civil rights movement was the Montgomery bus boycott. Boycotts have a storied history in American history and international events. And so what do you say to people who say this is a time-honored tactic?
And people can do what they want and purchase where they want to purchase. We're saying if you do want to purchase our product and you still want to support us in these retailer stores, you can walk into these stores and purchase our products only. And walk out. Those numbers will still hurt.
So it is complicated.
It's very complicated. And I hate the fact.
So just listening to April giving that explanation, it was a great explanation because I've had the conversation with many friends and different individuals who would share their own opinions, share their own thoughts about why we should boycott Target, why we should boycott some of these other entities, but not necessarily considering what would be the impact for the individual who is in, you know, on those shelves and different things like that. Because we have to think and also understand that when companies begin to scale back their DEI initiatives, it's not just about numbers on a spreadsheet, right? It's about real people, our cousins, our neighbors, our children, and their chances to showcase their talents and even their capabilities. So this is the part where we have to flip the script, family. This is the part we have to flip the script, friends. Instead of just focusing on what's being taken away, let's talk about what we can build. And here are just a few powerful moves that we can take part within our community to make this thing happen and really shake things up and move forward. The first thing would be that we need to strengthen our business networks. Considering, where is our local Black Chamber of Commerce? What are other resources and other professional organizations that can provide mentorship, that can provide guidance, that can provide tools that we need? These connections are gold, family. Second, we need to begin to further support and grow Black-owned businesses. When we create our own, now we're building something that no one can take from us. We're creating opportunities, and we're not waiting for somebody to build a table for us, but we're bringing the table, the plate, the chairs. We're bringing it all. And then thirdly, there's one crucial thing that we need to really hone in and focus on. And that thing specifically would be financial education, right? Understanding financial literacy and entrepreneurship. Because once we begin to understand these things within our community, this is the part to where now we can teach the youth, right, about ownership, about investing, and about how to make things stretch and how to really become fruitful for the long haul. I'm talking about wealth building, right? And this will now set us up for generational wealth. So now I want you just to begin to think, based on the people that are in your immediate circle around you, maybe a family, maybe a friend, maybe a colleague, but we must understand that the people who are right beside us, who we see putting in work day in and day out, we've seen them create the product. We've seen them talk about the product. Now we have to begin to consider, where are we going to put our dollars and how are we going to support? Take some time to think on that, family. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with Ask Jonathan in just a moment. Do you want to feel confident in your skin every day? Introducing Skin Rituals, a luxury home-based skin studio that specializes in hyperpigmentation, acne, and personalized treatments for every skin type. Owned by solo esthetician and registered nurse, Courtney Durham, Skin Rituals is all about curating facial treatments designed just for you. Hydrate, brighten, nourish, and soothe your skin with expert care and cutting-edge techniques that promote natural healing. Whether you're looking for a relaxing facial or a transformative chemical peel, Skin Rituals offers results-driven treatment tailored to your needs. With over 7 years of experience, Courtney's goal is to help you safely achieve the healthy skin that you deserve. At Skin Rituals, we believe that taking care of your skin is an investment in your confidence. Book your appointment today and leave every session feeling grateful for the choice that you made to take care of yourself. Skin Rituals, because you're... Shout out to Skin Rituals out in Dallas, Texas. Shout out to Courtney Durham. But now we're going to go ahead and transition to my personal favorite segment. This is our Ask Jonathan segment. We got producer Britt back on the mic. Y'all, producer Britt, talk to me. Talk to me. What we got? What we got?
All right. All right, Jonathan, I got some questions for you today. I called in the family, I called in friends, and we got questions, okay?
Talk to me.
All right. So, this first question is from Lamar Gordon in St. Louis. Now, his question is, Jonathan, during your professional career, is there a major event or some guidance that you receive that impact your trajectory, good or bad?
So there's been two pieces, right? Okay. One would be always just understand, like, integrity, doing what's right when nobody was watching. Because there was a point in my time, producer Britt, where I stole anything you could imagine.
Oh my God.
To the point where I used to steal so much. When I walked into stores, I felt like it was a waste of money for me to buy products. Okay.
Yeah, you had a mind
everything.
Of a criminal. Jesus. Okay.
I stole everything. I mean, ultimately, I had to pay it back.
What's wrong with you?
So it was integrity, right? So doing what's right when nobody's watching is one of the things that impacted me negatively, because I wasn't doing what was right when nobody was watching. So I ultimately had to pay for it. But then I had a mentor who was the founder of a holding company.
Okay, save the mentor.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Okay, so you would say integrity would be the answer to this one.
Integrity, for sure.
Okay. Same person, Lamar Gordon. Jonathan, as you know, the challenges that most people of color face in corporate America, what advice would you have for college students that are now going to face some of the same challenges? How do you think mentorship is, and are you currently mentoring or want to mentor in the future?
Oh, wow. Okay. Mr. Lamar with the good questions. It's very beneficial for you to get a mentor as early as possible and for you to stick with that mentor as long as possible. And the reason why I say that is because when you have a mentor, you want somebody who can guide you from where you are, but then also can see 10 years, 15 years down the line. So these are people who can begin just to put certain opportunities in front of you, see if you're ready for them. And then if you weren't, then they can help you tweak and tailor stuff to where the next time this opportunity comes, you'll be ready. But then also the mentor can be a reference for you. They can be a character reference. I've known Brittany for 10 years. And since I've known Brittany, I watched her build her career and do these things intentionally. So now she's ready for XYZ opportunity. She just needed the opportunity to get in the door. So mentoring is essential. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm open to mentoring. I loosely mentor a lot of people, honestly.
I feel like you be having some people underneath your belt for sure. Well, you do, yeah.
I'm just, man, Producer Britt, you already know how it is, man. I want people to win, man. I want people to win. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, so our last question from Lamar. Jonathan, some people consider a big house and a lot of money is a measurement for success. What are your measurements for success since we are on Speaker Success? Okay.
Say, Lamar coming through. Lamar, you came through. Lamar, you're my guy, okay? If you didn't know it then, you know it now, all right? You're my guy.
Shout out to Lamar and Lamont. Those are my uncles.
Yeah, shout out to Lamar and Lamont, both of y'all. Okay.
The twins, their L's birthday's up. On Friday. Yeah.
L's up. Happy early birthday if I don't tell you on Friday.
Okay.
But how do I measure success? At one point, it was just strictly focused on money and the things. Mm-hmm. But I've realized that I don't need much. So for me, success is really making sure that my son has every opportunity to do what he wants to do. If that's trying football, if that's trying dance. Mm-hmm. Just me being in a position to be able to allow him to do that. And then also same for my wife. If she wants to do something, if she's like, you know what? I don't want to work this week. Don't work. Cool. Mm. So being in a position to where they can have those opportunities. Yes, on the front end and on the lower end, it does look like money creates those opportunities. But after that, like we're talking about purpose, doing intentional, purpose-driven work, purpose-driven things. So that's what I'm all about. That's my definition for success.
All right. Amen to that. All right. So we're going to get to Lamont Gordon from St. Louis, Missouri. What are three things an entrepreneur should do prior to starting their business? I mean, this is right up your alley. So this is.
Three things. Well, want a coaching session. Let's get it.
Right.
So what are three things prior to starting your business? One would be knowing your skill set, right? What are experiences you have or what are problems that you can solve easily that many people struggle with? So that would be one. Two would be, does doing this thing, does it like energize you? Because you can be great at something, but if it doesn't do anything for you on a like purpose level, then you know, you're not gonna be moved by it.
Right.
It's not gonna drive you day after day after day. And then the third thing is, where is your heart for people? Identify where your heart is for people and then connect that to the problem that you're solving and the experiences that you've had. And that right there, my friend, is your business right there all day.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, in this moment right now, we're going to take a little break and we will be back to wrap up. All right.
Looking for an exciting workout that's not only fun but makes you feel alive? It's time to step up your fitness. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece, that's your answer. This isn't your typical workout. Extreme Hip Hop with Treece is an energizing step workout that combines simple moves with fresh beats, both old and new, creating an atmosphere that makes fitness exciting. With a focus on all elements of fitness, cardio, muscular conditioning, flexibility, and balance, you're guaranteed to burn calories and get addicted to the energy. Extreme becomes your safe space, which is a welcome environment where everyone is accepted. It's where you can let go of those worries of the world and focus on getting healthy. Ready to get energized? Join Extreme Hip Hop with Treece today. All right. We're going to wrap it up the right way. So I'll make my wrap up, producer. But I'm going to make my wrap up just about my mental wellness.
All right.
I know now many people are just trying to figure out ways to where, you know, they can really get a hold of that mental wellness. Mm-hmm. So one way is I have a therapist. Shout out to Dr. Danny, right? We schedule a couple sessions with him throughout the month, checking in us relationally, but also personally. And then outside of that, if I need a break, I'll take a break, period, right? I wake up early and I'm like, you know what? I need a little bit more sleep. I'll go back to sleep. Typically, I wake up at 4:55 past couple weeks, but that's a new habit, okay? And if I know I need more rest, I'll go back. So y'all, that's how you can prioritize your mental wellness. Just identifying those specific things and those specific pockets that works for you, right? What John does for his mental wellness might not work for you. What producer Britt does for her mental wellness might not work for you. But what you do and what you identify, do more of that, my friend. Do more of that. And that's going to energize you and keep everything moving, grooving, so you can be the best you. Appreciate y'all rocking on Speak Your Success Monday Motivation. Hope y'all enjoyed the show today. Be sure to come back tomorrow, because you already know we're diving in for Teach Me Tuesday. This is Speak Your Success, and I want you to remember, speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?